I'm glad you didn't hear from any of the preachers that didn't like me. Amen. All right. Well, I feel sort of honored. I was sitting over there before the service, kind of waiting on folks to come in, and Matt came over and talked to me a little bit, and then all of a sudden he looked at his mom and he said, "That's not Pastor Jenkins." So I got mistaken for Pastor Jenkins. I think that's a compliment. Amen. I'm glad you're here. Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll turn over there a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. This will be the morning message part 2. And we'll just continue on a little bit with about the Holy Spirit. And I want to thank you for the nice place I have to stay. And that missions house is beautiful over there. And then thank you for the good food. I had me a hamburger with some... See, I don't know, I put all kind of stuff on it. I put chili on it, and I put coleslaw on it, and I put, I don't know what all I put on it, but it was good. I just put whatever was there, and so thank you for that. I enjoyed that very much. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read one verse. We may refer to a couple more verses as we go. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. Ephesians 4, verse number 30. The Bible said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for these that have stayed for this afternoon service. And I pray, Lord, you'd make it profitable for us. I pray you'd help me as I preach. I pray that you would receive glory. Lord, if you get glorified, we'll get some help. And I need some help, Lord. So you help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit this morning. And we certainly need the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul will tell us in the book of Romans that we don't even know how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I got interested in that verse recently because I was talking to a man who is an independent Baptist and a good man, loves the Lord, but he's raised Church of God. And he had the idea that that verse taught that the Holy Ghost that there was a heavenly language that the Holy Ghost prayed. And I don't believe that. I think when the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost with groanings, it said, which cannot be uttered. And the scripture is simply saying that he groans with us. And the illustration I like to make is that if I were up here going to move this pulpit and I was groaning trying to move it, but it was beyond my strength and my ability, my helper, the Holy Ghost, comes by, grabs the other side and groans with me and does what I cannot do. He helps me in my prayer life, helps me to know what to say. As a matter of fact, surrounding this verse, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I don't even know how to talk right without the help of the Holy Spirit. And then he'll say this. He'll say, "Let not all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The Holy Ghost helps us with all of those things when we walk after the Spirit. But I'm interested in verse number 30, and I'm going to say three things to you about it, and I'll settle in on one of them, because there are three wonderful things mentioned in this little verse, verse number 30. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." The first one wonderful thing that's mentioned, or it's actually the last one, but it's the first one that I'll mention. There is a wonderful expectation in this verse. He said, "Preacher, where is it?" Watch what he said at the end. He said, "Unto the day of redemption." There is a wonderful expectation for the child of God. You say, what is it? It's the day of redemption. In fact, the Bible will tell us about it in Romans chapter 8, when the whole creation groaneth, and then the creature, you and I that are saved, the Christian, we're groaning, and the Holy Ghost is groaning in that chapter. But he'll talk about the whole creation groaning and travaileth until now. And what are they groaning for? What are they waiting for? The redemption of the body. You know, it's interesting. interesting in the day that we live, they look at Christians and they say, Christians are what is wrong with the world. But the truth of the matter is, the world will finally be right when you and I receive the redemption of the body, the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And that day's coming. I'm glad there's a glad day coming. You say, preacher, I'll tell you, things may look bleak. Well, maybe they do in some respects, but for the child of God, things are looking up. They're looking up. My old friend Billy Goosby used to say this. There's an old saying that said, I'll be there if nothing don't happen and the creek don't rise. But he would always say this, that I'll be there if nothing don't happen and the church don't rise. The church is getting ready to rise. We're going to leave this world. And when we see Jesus, the Bible said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the Bible said we're going to be glorified. We're already justified, and we're really in the mind of God already glorified. I remember the old King's Travelers singing group. I'm just warming up. I'll preach here in a minute, I hope. The old singing group, the King's Travelers, used to sing this song. I'm already over on the other side, just waiting on my body to be. Amen. We're going to have a glad day. So there's a wonderful expectation. There's a day coming. It'll be a day of liberation. It'll be a day of likeness. It'll be a day of lifting up the Lord. You see, the Lord has already given us the earnest of our inheritance. For 30-some years, my wife and I and our children, we never lived in a home that didn't have wheels under it. It was either a bus or a motorhome or a travel trailer or a fifth-wheel trailer. For a little while, it was a Volkswagen Rabbit. And so we never lived in a home that didn't have wheels. Well, then we had an opportunity to get a house, a real house, one that doesn't move every week. And so we went down and talked to the bank a little bit, and they said, well, there'll have to be a down payment. Now, what was it? That's the earnest payment, the down payment. And the reason it used to be called the earnest payment was they didn't figure if you couldn't come up with enough money to put a down payment or an earnest payment, they didn't figure you were serious about the whole deal. So they made you do the earnest payment to prove that you were serious about making this loan and buying this, making this purchase. Well, I want to remind you that we have received the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest, the down payment, if you will, of the purchase. And all it is the Lord saying to me, I'm serious about this. I'm earnest about this. I'm not going to drop you off somewhere along the way. I'm going to finish what I began. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So there's the earnest of our inheritance. We'll say more about that, but I'm headed somewhere. There's not only a wonderful day of redemption that's coming, there is a wonderful preservation in this verse. Look what he said. Right before that, he said, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We're sealed. I like that word, that we're sealed. It means that we're kept. Peter put it this way, kept by the power of God. Jesus said this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You say, preacher, how long are you going to be saved? As long as Jesus is true. And he's always been true. He's never told a lie. He's never been wrong. Truth of the matter is, I'm going to live as long as he does. Amen. I'm safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've received the earnest of our inheritance. I remember David in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, I know David was not perfect, but in a lot of ways, David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Reminds us of him. He calls himself David's son. And when we think about David, I'm reminded of 1 Samuel 17. When you go back and read, David said this in Psalm 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know if there's anybody who knew more about shepherding than David did. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And what he was saying was, just like I'm a shepherd for my sheep, the Lord is a shepherd for his sheep, and I'm one of his sheep. And if you go back and study 1 Samuel, I think there are 6 times where there's a direct statement about David and his sheep, and it tells a wonderful story. But one of those is in 1 Samuel 17, and it thrills my heart to think about it. 1 Samuel 17, David's father, Jesse, sends him down to the battle where the brethren are. He wants David to take them some gifts. And here's what the Bible said. The Bible said David left the sheep with a keeper. Now, I want you to think about that. If David reminds me of the Lord, that's what our Lord did. He left this world. He came and was born and lived a perfect life and died for my sin. Then he arose from the dead and ascended into heaven. But he left us with a keeper. That keeper's name is the Holy Spirit of God. And he's going to keep us. He's not going to lose one single one of us. I'm glad I'm saved and saved forever. I'm sealed. I bought, you know, people will put their names on something to show that it's theirs. And I like old things. I have a few antiques, not a lot, but I collect some old knives, and I found some military knives where the fellow would have his name on the blade, etched into the blade. But one time I was in the Goodwill, and I came across a pair of spurs. Some old Western spurs with the big rowel around them. And they wanted $2.50 for this set of spurs. And so I bought them and I took them home. And on the bottom, they had Crockett, which he was a famous spur maker. I found out they're worth a little bit of money. But stamped in the side was a B and a K. I don't know who B and K is, but I know this. He had those spurs and he wanted everybody to know they were his. So he stamped them with his initials. And I would like to say to you, I am stamped with the initial of God, the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, we're kept. So here's what we have so far. We have a wonderful expectation and a wonderful preservation. But here's what I want to talk to you about for a moment. There is a wonderful emotion in this verse. A wonderful emotion. Now watch what it said. Watch how it starts. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever thought about the language here? It occurred to me that God did not say, don't anger the Holy Spirit. He didn't say in this passage, don't irritate the Holy Spirit. He didn't say in this passage, don't annoy the Holy Spirit. He didn't say in this passage, don't enrage the Holy Spirit. He did not say in this passage, don't infuriate the Holy Spirit. He said, don't grieve. He said, grieve not. I'm interested in that word, grieve. Let me say two or three things about it. I'm thinking, first of all, about the word grieve, about grief and love. Now, I can get angry about people I don't even know. Maybe you never do. You might be more spiritual than I am. I can get annoyed over people that I don't really know. In fact, I can drive down the road and a fella cut me off and I can get annoyed about it. But it's hard to be grieved over something that's not important to you. It's hard to be grieved over someone you don't love. Or someone that you know, but I thought about what the preacher said about Brother Townsend. And they're grieving. You know why? Daddy, he was important to them, precious to them, close to them, and loved them. And I thought about God saying to me, Brian, don't grieve the Holy Ghost. And I think to myself, God's telling me how much the Holy Spirit loves me, how important I am to him. Because it's not annoy, it's not infuriate, it's not anger, it's grieve. Every parent here knows what I'm talking about. You have a wayward child. You love them. You want them to live a certain way because you know it would please God and it would be good for them. But they don't want to live that way. What does it do? It grieves you, doesn't it? And you get in your prayer closet and you pray and you weep over them. Pray, oh God, would you get a hold of their heart? Oh God, would you change their way of thinking? Oh God, would you bring them back? Oh, God, help me see. What's going on? You're grieved. You know why you're grieved? Because you love them. So I'm looking at this verse, and I'm thinking the Lord's telling me how much he loves me. How much in the person of the Holy Spirit he loves me. I've always thought about God loving me, God the Father, for God is love. For God, he manifested his love toward us. And then while we were yet sinners, Christ died. I've always thought about Jesus who loves me. That's what we learned. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But you know what? The Holy Ghost is part of that Godhead. And he must love me too, or I couldn't grieve him. I could not cause him sorrow if he didn't love me. So I'm reminded about grief and love. And then I'm reminded about grief and leadership. We grieve when we cannot affect a positive change in those we love. We'll say sometimes, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had said this, or I wish I could change this. We grieve because we can't get them to do what we would like them to do. I've been dealing with a young man for years, a preacher's son who's been out of the will of God. And every time I go up and get in that area, I'll go by and see him, and we'll go out to eat. And sometimes when I fly in, he'll pick me up at the airport. And I've watched his daddy grieve over him because he wants him to do right. He wants him to live right. And it's a great grief to the mother and the father. One day he picked me up at the airport and we drove to the preacher's house, his dad's house, and we pulled in, and he looked over at me and he said, now, his dad came out on the porch and he looked at him and he said, now this is exactly what my dad's going to say to you when we get out of the car. And I got out of the car, and sure enough, his dad said exactly what he said he was going to say. When I got back in the car later, I looked at him and said, let me tell you something. There'll come a day when you give everything you own just to hear your dad say that again, to be able to hear him say that. Well, just recently, hallelujah, that boy's got right with God. God's worked on his heart, and he's trying to serve the Lord. He said to me recently, he said, preacher, do you think, he said, I've been so long out of the will of God. He said, do you think God will use me? Do you think he could still use me? I said, certainly he can use you. He's a God of mercy and a God of grace, and certainly he can use you. But I tell you, it's done his dad a world of good and his mom a world of good. We grieve over someone when we cannot lead them the way we think they ought to go. And I think it grieves the Holy Spirit of God when we do not follow the way we ought to. So there's grief in love, there's grief in leadership, there's grief in loss. Now, we'll never lose the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave us. We're sealed under the day of redemption. We know we never need to pray like David prayed when he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me in Psalm 51. Because the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, and Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what Paul told us. And so we'll never lose him, but we can lose the power of the Holy Spirit, lose our influence. We can lose the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We can lose His fellowship. I want to give you an illustration. I was preaching I was in Florida, and I was singing and preaching. My family sings some, and we were at Dr. Mickey Carter's in Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City, Florida. We were doing on a Saturday thing they call Senior Patriots. There were about, I don't know, 250 senior citizens. And we would go, we'd do it once a year, and we'd go and we'd sing 20 minutes, take a little break, sing another 20 minutes, take a little break. And then I would preach 20 minutes, if you can believe that. And then we would have a meal. And so in between the two sets of songs, I walked out and I saw there was a message on my phone. So I listened to it, and a man called me, and he said, Brother so-and-so, his family has had a tragedy. Their 15-year-old son had died on his 15th birthday. They were playing basketball, and they walked over. They'd had a timeout, and they walked over, and they sat down on the bleacher, and his heart stopped, and he died. And so I called my friend, my preacher friend, and told him I was praying for him. He said, would you and your family come and sing at the funeral? I said, we'll be there. So we got in a car and left and drove to Arkansas. And we got to about 2 a.m. We spent a little time at the hotel. And then we had the funeral service. We sang at the funeral service. We sang at the graveside. Then we went back to the church where the gymnasium is. And they had a meal set up. They had tables, and over on the side, they had those bleachers that you push and they fold up into the wall. You know what I'm talking about? You can pull out one or two or a whole bunch of them. And they had everything set up at the table, but over on one side, there was two bleachers pulled out. And I don't know why I did it, but I took my food, and instead of sitting at the table, I went over and I sat on that bleacher. So I'm sitting on the bleacher, and I'm eating, and the young man's name was Matthew that went home to be the Lord. Matthew's dad came over, and he was talking to me, and I was eating a little bit, and he was talking. Some other folks came over. We've been friends for years. But I looked up, and I'm sitting on that bleacher, and I looked across the gym, and Matthew's mother was standing over there. She was staring at me. And I sort of nodded my head at her, and she didn't She didn't smile. She didn't nod. She didn't wave. She just looked. I went back to my eating and fellowshipping. In a little while, I looked up, and she's still there. When we got all done, we put everything away, and we went to their house. We sat around their living room, and we prayed, and we cried, and we sang together. And I don't know, maybe one or two in the morning, we all went home or back. We went back to the hotel. So I'm going out the door, and I shake Matthew's father's hand, hug him. And then his mother was right next, and I took hold of her hand, shook her hand, told her I was praying for her, loved her. And she held on to my hand. And here's what she said to me. She said, "I guess you saw me looking across the gym." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I wanted to come over and fellowship with you. But right where you're sitting, right where you were sitting, right there on that bench, that bleacher, that's where Matthew was sitting when he died." And she said, these are her words. She said, "I wanted to come over and speak to you, but I looked over there and saw that, and I was so grieved, I couldn't come over there." And immediately the Holy Spirit reminded me of all the times he would have fellowshipped with me, but he was too grieved. He wanted to, but he was too grieved. Think of all the things the Holy Ghost would like to do in our lives, do with us for the glory of God. But there's something grieving him, and we don't have the fellowship we ought to have. You look in the rest of this chapter. Sometimes it's our untruthfulness that grieves him. Sometimes it's our anger that grieves him. Sometimes it's our greed that grieves him. Sometimes it's our unkindness that grieves him. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I don't know if the Holy Ghost has sorrow." I don't know either, but I don't know any other way to explain the word grieve. We grieve him. I don't want to grieve. I wonder this afternoon if you've grieved the Holy Spirit. I wonder this afternoon if there's something you'd want to tell him the truth about. Oh, by the way, let me finish my story from the morning service. You remember Margaret Koval, Mitsuo Fujita? Mitsuo Fujita. Margaret Koval was that young lady whose parents were beheaded, and she went down into the prison camp and helped those men. I told that story a couple of years ago, probably 4 years ago. I told that story at the Good Shepherd Baptist Church, Mooresville, Indiana. I was preaching a message on bitterness. How bitterness grieves the Holy Ghost. How you could get over bitterness. 2 years later, I went back to the church to preach. And a man came up to me and he said, "Brother McBride," told me his name. He said, "Do you remember when you preached on being bitter and angry? 2 years ago." I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you remember the story you told at the end about Margaret Koval?" I said, "I do, I remember." Then he said this to me. He said, "Preacher," this was the way he put it. He said, "The Japanese killed my brother in the Bataan Death March. And," he said, "I have hated them." He said, "But at the end of that service last, when you were here, I got on my knees at the altar and I told the Lord I was sorry and I forgave them." And he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "I am in better spirits than I've been in years. And I am in better health than I have been in years. And it says, because I forgave them." He was grieving the Holy Spirit, grieving himself. But when he got right, it's still what that young lady did is still having an effect in people's lives all these years later. Let's make sure this morning we're not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to bow your heads a moment if you would. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And I think you know today, I think you know if there's something in your life that's grieving you. I think you know if there's some bitterness or some unforgiveness or some lust or something that's untruthful. I think you know. I know when I have. Why don't you do something about it today? And leave this auditorium in the power of the Holy Spirit. Make a difference for the cause of Christ. Father, help us in the next few moments. Help us to be right with you. Help us to be honest with you. Help us to do business with you. Help us to leave walking in the joy of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to accomplish something for your glory. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for being our God. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet a moment. You're standing, God's dealt with your heart. Would you come? Would you? If there's nothing in your life grieving the Holy Spirit of God, then stay where you are and pray for the rest. But if there is something, why not do something about it this afternoon? Come bow the knee. Get it right with the Lord.